waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. This is the Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Back in on SB Nation Radio, and we are just a few days away from the FIFA Women's World Cup draw for the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup taking place in France. And to talk more about that and really just the state of soccer in the United States, we go out to the BetDSI.com inside line and welcome in a former captain of the U.S. Women's National Team, a two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion, and oh yeah, a two-time Olympic gold medalist, current ESPN analyst Julie Foudy, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Now, much like 2018, 2019, an exciting year for soccer, the FIFA Women's World Cup in France. It's going to take place in the summer. And as I mentioned, just a few days away from the World Cup draw. At last check, the U.S., the betting favorite. What's the feeling around the U.S. Women's National Team heading into the World Cup?
Optimism, I think. You know, they've been playing. You saw them in CONCACAF qualifiers. Mind you, CONCACAF qualifiers should have an asterisk next to it because it's not the most difficult of qualifiers. but typically, you know, the U.S. does well in qualifiers, of course, and but there was a difference I felt this time. And even though it is seems that they're beating quite handily, there was a confidence to this group because they finally, you know, over the course of 2017, Jill Ellis was still experimenting, trying a lot of players, doing a lot of different formations and combinations. And you had a ton of injuries to some of your key creative types, like a Rose Lavelle, for example, and Mal Pugh went through a series of injuries. So to see all that crop healthy and playing together and that group, that front six of them, you know, between Rose and Lindsey Horan playing well and Megan Rapinoe and Heath, Tobin Heath being healthy. I mean, that's and Alex Morgan scoring a lot of goals. That's a good front six right now. So if they can stay healthy, I think there's tremendous optimism within that group.
With the draw coming out on Saturday, for those that maybe haven't followed the international scene as much, and they'll get glued in once we get to the World Cup, well, what's kind of a draw, maybe a nightmare team or two you wouldn't want to see?
Well, I mean, obviously Sweden gave them fits in the 2016 Olympics. It's the first time the U.S. has never gotten to the medal rounds, knocking them out of the quarterfinals. And we also know that Sweden is pretty much a given in terms of being in the U.S. group in a World Cup. U.S., Sweden, Nigeria, those three, they're in, right? You're going to play those three. So Pia Sundhagen, who was the coach of Sweden at the Olympics, is no longer with the team. And she, of course, knew the U.S. team very well because she was the prior U.S. coach. But still, they, you know, I think there's going to be a good Sweden team possibly that the U.S. has to face. I think you saw, you know, recently Scotland created some problems for the United States when they were just over there playing in Scotland. And so those countries that, you know, Scotland's going to its first World Cup, if they have a player like Kim Little, who's a tremendous player, one of the best in the world, I think, healthy, then that could be a team. Spain, as we've seen with their youth national teams, is doing so well. They haven't quite transferred that to the women's level, but the good news is you're seeing teams that you don't typically talk about on the women's side emerging, and I think that's a great sign for women's soccer.
Now, when you were a captain on the women's national team, and of course were a two-time World Cup champ, when the draw came out, I mean, how does that approach for you guys just as players? Do you kind of glue around to the TV to watch that, or is it one of those things that you don't focus too much into until it's already out there?
You watch for sure, but you also know, like, really what happens is you got to get through every team if you're going to be the best. And so our mindset was always like, bring it. We don't care if it's easy, if it's hard. It is what it is. We can't change it, accept it, and move on. And the good news with the World Cup now expanding to 24 teams is that you just don't have to finish in your top two to get out of your group, right? So you can finish in that third position if you're one of the top four in that third position out of the six groups and still get through. So that takes a ton of pressure off the United States if they get in, in a difficult group. So they, I think, I'm very, again, optimistic. you should be getting out of your group. You can finish top three. You're fine.
Talking with the former captain of the U.S. Women's National Team, also a two-time World Cup champion, Julie Foudy, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Now, over with the U.S. Men's National Team, 13 months later, you know, they have a new head coach, Greg Berhalter. Do you like the hire there?
I do like the hire. I like that it's an American. I like that it's a World Cup veteran, the first. I like that he has knowledge, of course, internationally, played internationally. So you have all those things. I think he's been saddled a little bit with the process, as we've all talked about. And so you come in with a lot of skepticism because people were frustrated by the process. And so, but I do, you know, everyone you talk to says he's got a great mind. He's got a great way. He's tough, but he's fair. The players like him. So all those things I think are positives. And of course, it being the first that has really come through the program and played in World Cups for the U.S., getting a chance to lead him to a World Cup is great.
Now, what would you say is just the biggest challenge he has and really just kind of the state of the U.S. men's national team right now?
Getting this country to calm down a little bit. I mean, I love that, you know, there's been such a visceral reaction to the men not qualifying because it matters. You know, people care. But, you know, there's a lot of angst out there in how we're developing players. And I also think that's good because it makes you ask questions. But how do you kind of bring the country together? How do you get, you know, you hear rumors about players not excited to get pulled away to play for the U.S. And if you're ever in a situation, whether that's true or not, if you're ever in a situation where you have to convince a player to play for the national team, we got issues, right? And to put on the red, white, and blue. So I think, you know, getting some of the swagger back that we've seen with the men's team in moments is a huge challenge. But when you have, you know, the young players that we've seen come through, and, you know, how about Christian Pulisic finishing second, right, last night to Mbappe? I mean, that was incredible to see that. A U.S. player as, you know, the second best in the world at the under-21 level. So I think there's a lot of positives from that men's program to take. And we've seen, you know, how well, you know, some of these young guys have done with not a lot of exposure at the highest level.
Julie Foudy joining us here on SB Nation Radio, ESPN analyst, two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion. And with the obvious need for continued focus and development at the youth and high school levels in this country, how exciting is it for you, and really maybe important for you, to be part of the first ever All-State, All-America soccer program?
Well, that was just it, right? When All-State said, hey, we're doing this All-America program for the first time with high school kids, I was like, thank you, right? Because we don't honor them enough, and especially given, you know, how they're getting pulled away from high school soccer by development academies. I think it's great that we're able to shine a spotlight on these players. And they just, you know, today announced the first 150 high school soccer players, right, that have been named All-Americans, 75 boys, 75 girls. They're going to have another 100 players will be selected this spring. They'll whittle that down to 40 on the girl side, 20 go with me, 20 go with Brandy, and I'm going to beat her. I'll go on the record with that.
Ah, the trash talk has already started. I like it.
Yes, it's starting. It's starting. You know, and Taylor Twellman and Brian McBride have the boys side. So, I mean, that's really cool. We should be celebrating what they're doing. Because high school, when I look back on my high school experience playing soccer, that was some of the best memories I have, because you're playing in front of your peers and your community is there celebrating you. And you don't get that at the club level. You don't get the pressure of having to play in front of the city, you know, for a, you know, a CIF championship or a state championship. And I think that's really cool. So I'm really excited for it.
What would you say is the next step for soccer in the U.S., whether it is down at the youth level or it has to do at higher levels?
Well, not even talking X's and O's. I think the thing that I get, you know, most concerned about is there's a joy that's lost in youth sports today that I constantly like to talk about, because, you know, the reason we were so successful on the national team and I was so successful with my various teams is we loved playing, right? It wasn't, you know, what flight team are you on? What academy are you playing for? It was, I just love my group, right? And I love this team I'm with. And whether I'm the star or I'm getting 20 minutes of the game, this is my squad. This is my team. And we've lost some of that. And so as much as I can, I talk to kids about the joy of playing and finding the joy and creating that culture within your team if your coach isn't. And that you can be responsible for that and help with that. And that was the thing that kept me playing for so long. I mean, they couldn't kick us off the national team in the end because we were having too much fun.
Last question for Julie Fowdy. You're kind enough to join us here on SB Nation Radio. The MLS Cup this weekend, Atlanta United and the Portland Timbers. Your feeling in this match coming up this weekend?
I mean, Atlanta's just... I mean, how many adjectives can you use for that program with what they... I mean, and Portland, of course, we've seen on both the men's and women's side how well Merritt Paulson has run that program. But, geez, and for them to be pulling in, you know, 70,000 in the middle of the week.
That's
and
crazy.
I was just with, you know, a friend from Atlanta. I'm like, you know, could you have anticipated this? I mean, I know Atlanta's a good soccer city and soccer culture, but... She's like, heck no. So I think it's tremendous what they've done. I think they've got a lot of momentum. So I'm thinking it's going to be hard for Portland to knock that momentum off.
The former captain of the U.S. Women's National Team, two-time Women's World Cup champion, two-time Olympic gold medalist, Julie Fowdy, kind enough to join us today. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Our guest line sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125. Get 125% bonus on your deposit. Get all the plays on the inside line at BetDSI.com. Really good discussion just about where soccer is in this country. Of course, a lot of focus on the U.S. men's national team and their new hire to see where that program goes over the next couple of years after missing out on the World Cup this past year. And for the women's national team, they are the betting favorite. They'll earn their draw coming up on Saturday and find out who they will be going up against in their group. As she mentioned, though, the World Cup on both sides expanding as far as the number of teams, and we're talking about moving on, and so you don't necessarily have to be in your top two of your group. We'll wrap things up tonight on the Gold Standard with an announcement coming tomorrow in the XFL.